Tonight we're going to finish Sefer Rus. Just for the grand finale, yeah. Anybody who finishes tonight can have cheesecake on. We're going to begin tonight with Pasuk Zayin, Perek Dal Pasuk Zayin. It's on the top. The Pasuk says, well, first let me tell you what we're describing. Do we run out? I have a couple more of staples, so I have a couple of unstapled copies. Okay, in any event, we'll see if anybody else gets here. So. The Pasuk here is discussing the actual transaction in which Boaz acquired the rights to all the fields of Naomi and Ruth from the other potential redeemer, the other potential Goel. And it says here in Pasuk Zayin, how do you acquire that? Zosli Fnimi Yisroel, this is originally the procedure in Am Yisroel, ala Geula, on redemption of property, ala Tmura, and on changing hands of property, L'kayim Kol Dover, to sustain anything, Shalof Ish Nalo, an individual would pull off his shoe, V'Natzan Reu, and give it to his friend, V'Nezos HaTudah B'Yisroel, and this would certify matters, literally testify to matters in Klal Yisroel. Now, a couple of very interesting things in this pasuk. First of all, this is the source of the Kenyan called, the acquisition called Khalifin, in which, as all those of you who have sold chametz know, that when the rabbi acquires the right to sell your chametz, he gives you his pen or his handkerchief, and you pick it up, and that way he becomes your shaliach. So that Kenyan, which he's making with you, that binder, is called the Kinyan Chalifin, where the buyer, in this case the rabbi, is acquiring the right to be a shaliach, gives something to the seller. Now, the rabbi takes that back afterwards, but that has already been achieved symbolically by the transfer of hands of the pen or whatever else he's giving. And in the old days, they used to use a shoe. Now, there's machlokes in the Gemara, who gave the shoe to whom? And in fact, who's supposed to give the pen to whom? Does the buyer give it to the seller, or the seller give it to the buyer? And it depends here who took off his shoe. It doesn't say here, or in the next pasuk, in pasuk Ches, Vayomer Agol LeBoaz, the Redeemer said to Boaz, Kenei Loch, you acquire the fields and Rus, Vayishlof Nalo, and he took off his shoe. It doesn't say who took off his shoe, so therefore this machlok says the Gemara, who actually gives the object to whom. Now, a very interesting thing in this pasuk also is the fact that it says, Vizos with funny Mizro. This was the custom of yore among the Jews. What are we talking about? This is the days of yore, right? When Ruth took place, it was a long time ago. So it means even prior to that time. So the Malbim here is a very interesting shot. Here on the bottom he says, it's a little bit long and complicated, but he says that, well, let's see it inside. In Zayin, all the way at the bottom, not all the way at the bottom, the top right at the bottom. The Zosiknim Bisro, Omer of a Medrash, it says in the Medrash, Barishana, you kone b'minol v'sando. Originally used to acquire things with shoes and with sandals. Shneamar shalot yishnalo, a person would take off a shoe. Chaz liyos kone b'ktsatsa. Then they started making kinin with ktsatsa. A new type of kinin. Ma'u din ktsatsa, what is a ktsatsa? Omer Rabbi Yossi Baravin, kol mi shemokra sadeu, anybody who sells his property, hayu krova mevim chavitz mle'a kloyos, ve'gozim, his relatives would bring a barrel full of toast, and toasted wheat was like a candy in those days, and nuts, and they would break it in front of the children, and the children would gather the grain, and the candies, whatever it was, and say, oh, so-and-so got broken off from his portion. Similarly, Mishahoya Nose Isha Shaino Ogenes, somebody who married a woman who was not Ogenes, though not proper for him, such as a Kohen who married a Grusha or such like. They would bring also this barrel full of the toasted wheat and their gozim and the nuts, the Sholif Natinokos, and they would break it in front of the children. And the children would gather them, and they would say, so-and-so got lost from his family. Then they returned to the original way of acquisition, to acquire with shoes and with sandals. Like it says here, Sholaf Leos Ishnao of Natsal Reu, right, they gave the shoe here. Chazulios Konim Kesav Shtar Chazok, and eventually they went to use money, Shtaros and Chazaka. Now, why did they go back? Why did it revert again? There are a couple of non-stapled copies on my table there. They're out of staples. They're over there next to my... Why did they go back? Why couldn't they remain with the candies? So the mom says, Poshut. Because were they to break the candies, the jar here, what would people think? Why are they breaking the jar if they would make that kind of kinyan here? Which pejorative connotation? That Boaz is inappropriate. That Boaz is inappropriately marrying Ruth. That Ruth was indeed not suitable to him because she was a Moavia. So therefore, they had, if they were going to break the jar here, so people would think, oh, they're not breaking the jar because of the Kenyan. Rather, they're breaking the jar because they want to publicize that Boaz is marrying somebody whom he can't marry. So therefore, in order to avoid having such rumors, they went back to the original form of Kenyan at this point, which is the Kenyan not by breaking the jar, but the Kenyan by giving the shoe or the vessel over from one person to another person. Now, the Targum here says that now is not a shoe. Targum says now is a glove. Don't ask me how he got that, but I guess just like the shoe gloves the foot, the glove gloves the hand. And that makes a little it's interesting because in the Torah, whenever we want to speak about giving somebody authority, we call it milu yadayim. And Rashi says that the custom used to be to give a glove to signify authority from one individual to another individual. So here too, perhaps it's called an authorization of Boaz to go ahead, as opposed to the original Goel redeeming. Now Boaz would get the option to do so. Another interesting thing, which the Mami goes to great length, is that the shoe here, of course, has Kabbalistic significance. Because what kind of process are we dealing with here? What's going on? Opposite of chalitza. Ibum, right? So we know that chalitza is done by removing the shoe. So therefore, we see that shoes have something to do with Yibum. And the Malbim explains that in Kabbalah, the body is regarded as being the shoe which cases the soul. And Yibum is to give that soul, which is restless, another shoe, another case in which to rest. So therefore, if a brother does not consent to give that restless soul a place to come back down into this world, you remove his shoe to signify that he would not give some place to rest to his brother's soul. And here, where they're transferring the Yibum right, or the Yibum obligation, from the first Goel to Boaz, so that's being signified by the shoe going to the other foot. In other words, he's now going to be the now, can become the shoe, so to speak, for this soul to come back down to the world. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Vayomer Boaz, Lazkenim. Boaz said to the elders, V'chol ha'am, and all the nation, Eidim atem hayom, you are witnesses today, Ki konisi es ashkol asher le'elimelech, I purchased everything which Elimelech owned, that's kol asher le'kilyon u'machlon, and everything owned by Kilyon and Machlon, Elimelech's sons-in-law, the Moabites, the ones who married Moabites, Miyad Nomi, from the hand of Nomi. Moab's, not Elimelech's sons-in-law, Elimelech's sons, who married Ruth and Orpah, from the hands of Nomi. Vegamis Rusa Moabia, also Ruth the Moabite, Ashes Machlon, the wife of Machlon, Konisi Lili Shah, I acquired for myself for a wife, Lakim Shema Mesa Nachala, so to erect the name of the dead person on his portion, Vloikore Shema Mesmim Echav, and the name of the dead person should not be lost from among his brethren, Umishar Makoma, from the gate of his place, the gate meaning, of course, where the Sahedrin was sitting, whom he was addressing, Eidim Atem Hayom, you are witnesses today. Now Rashi says here, what is this Hakom Hashem? Because people are going to see that Ruth is going in and out of the property, or Naomi, the people are going to know, oh, who's this woman? This woman who was once married to Machlon, and people are going to say, oh, Machlon still exists, still continues to live in some form. That's what the Rashi says. The Malbim here is much more mystical. The Malbim says that somehow the neshama of a husband who had no child still is retained in his wife after he dies, and this neshama then expresses itself through the mitzvah of Yibum in the new family which is erected, and the child which is born, and that is the way the Hakom Hashem takes place. Be that as it may, Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz, who the Nachlas Yosef, has a very interesting and long interpretation of this pasuk, and he says, look, why did Boaz have to specify in such great detail what exactly he's doing. Or is it so necessary? And he picks up on a theme which we all know from Yaakov Avinu, which is that tzadikim mamonim chaviv aleim yoser minafshom. Tzadikim, their money is more precious than their soul, and that's why Yaakov Avinu went back in the middle of the night to get the pachim k'tanim, which he left on the other side. And he says, why is it so important for tzadikim? Because they know that which they get without any theft, without any dishonesty, they get all the shame shamayim, that's what Boaz was doing here, all for the sake of heaven, and therefore they want to be meticulous in clarifying exactly what they're doing so there's no doubt, no question, no underhandedness, and everything is spelled out exactly, very meticulously. And that's why Boaz in these two psukim is saying exactly what he's doing and specifying in front of everybody in order that everybody should know that what he's doing l'shem shamayim as the right thing in order to, just and solely for this purpose, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. Avraham Avinu with the... When he brought the Maaseh HaMechpelah, the same idea, that's right, very, very exact, over Lo Socher, that's right. I mentioned that last night, the tzaddikim, the chassidim are very meticulous with even their monetary issues. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is a very important Pasuk, yes?
Why does the Pasuk again
Moab? Well, I think that here it's in order to tell us that even though she's a Moaviyah, she's Muteres. I'm marrying her because the halacha is, the stress in the halacha, Moaviyah is forbidden to come in the Karl, but not a Moaviyah.
It's not derogatory.
I don't think it's derogatory here. I think it's in order to teach the halacha. Because here we knew we took 10 people in order to publicize the halacha that Moavi v'lo Moavis. Moaviyah. Okay, Pasuk Yaf. Yomer Kol, Yomer Kolam. Very important Pasuk. All the nations said, Asher Bashar, the people who are on the at the gate, in other words, the Sanhedrin, Vazkenim, and the other elders, Adim, Vazkenim, Adim, the other the elders were witnesses. Yitin Hashem es Isha Bo Beisecha. May God give grant that this woman who's coming to your house will be Kirachel Ukaleo. Asher banu shteim as Beis Yisrael, who both built the houses of Israel, v'atichayo befrosa, and do strong things, mighty things, mighty not in the sense of for war, but in the sense of acts for God in Ephros, who cross shame and call out a name in Beis Lochem. The Beis Lochem in your house should be kibeis peretz, asher yolda somer Yehuda, like the house of peretz, which Tamar gave birth to Yehuda, minazera asher yitein Hashem l'cha, from the children which God will give you, mina nara azos, from this maiden. Now, Pasuk Yidav, very, very significant Pasuk. The Malvin points out that there are two brachas in this Pasuk. There's one bracha to Rus, Yitain Hashem et Laisha, and another bracha to Boaz, right, which is that the Sein Chayel Befrasa. But I want to point out to you a beautiful parallel here. This is not the Malvin, this is me. I want to take credit for this one. It says here, look at this, he says, Ki Rachel ukaleo, that's the two sides, Rachel and Leah. Corresponding to Rachel is Ephrasa, and corresponding to Leah is Beis Lochem. Because when it says that Rachel was buried, where was she buried? In Derech Ephras. Ephras is stressed for the first time in Chumash in conjunction with Rachel. Le Beis Lochem refers to Leah. Besides that, the verb used, or rather the task, which is that they gave him a bracha that he would complete, is in Ephras there's going to be chayil, strength, might. Which midah does that connote to us? What power, what midah of the avos does that connote to us? Givura, who's the givur from the avos? Yitzchak. Whereas the one which is used for Beis Lochem and for Leah is shame. Which of the others is connected with shame? Easy one. What? Where is Yaakov? Oh no, explicitly in the pasuk where the Kodesh Baruch speaks to him about name. Rav, Agad lo shmecha. Hashem said to Avraham, I'm going to expand your name. Now what does expand your name mean? Right? Expand your name is the midah of expansiveness. What does expansiveness mean? Chesed, right? In fact, Agad L'Shimcha means that Avraham Avinu is the one who's going to go out and spread the word of God everywhere, which is the ultimate act of Chesed. How did he do it? By inviting people into his tent, by having them make brachos. So Avraham represents Chesed, whereas Yitzhak represents the introversion and introspection, which is the midah of Givura, of restraint. Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, standing back, restraining oneself, not getting too involved. So we have this dichotomy here, the two sets of brachos. the Chayil, which relates to Rachel and Ephrasa, and Ephros relates also, Reb Tzadok says, we mentioned this way back at the beginning of the Sefer, a person who's particularly meticulous in being Shomer Bris, and making sure not to be lustful and not to go pursue licentious behavior, is called an Ephrasi. So that was the Midah of the children of Rachel. Yosef is our paradigm for restraint in, with the wife of Potiphar, and Binyamin also represents that later in history, not for now. Trust me, it's there. But whereas Leah, on the other hand, does not represent that. In fact, Leah, the pasuk condemns in Bereishis, it says that Vateitzei Leah. Leah was a Yatsonis. She went out, and therefore, as a result, what happened? Well, which, how was she punished? Dina, the mice of Dina. One second, Winston. What? So that's the next part. Because obviously there are two traits of kingship which are being here imparted to Boaz and Ruth. So the trait of Gevura, of restraint, I already mentioned. Who is that? Is that of kingship? Kingship now. Which type of kings were supposed to represent that? Yosef. Moshiach ben Yosef and Shaul HaMelech, that Shaul HaMelech who preceded David, supposed to be the midah of kingship, of restraint, of introversion, of introspection. Whereas the other midah, which refers to the other midah which has to do with kingship, is the midah of who represents that? The other Mashiach. Mashiach ben David, who comes from Shevet Yehuda. And Beis Lechem, of course, is where Shevet Yehuda is. Right? Ephros is Rachel, Beis Lechem is Yehuda. And this point is made explicitly by Reb Tzadok. If you turn to page 8 in my notes on this pasuk, I copied down Reb Tzadok here. It's a long Reb Tzadok, but just a little bit of which has to do with us. Reb Tzadok in the Dover Tzedek Mem Om Rav says, Ki Yodua, it's known, the lo tirtzach v'lo sinaf, not to murder and not to be licentious, hem ovos kol amidos aros, these are the two paradigms, the two fathers of all the negative traits. The kolim korash v'olam, and they include all evil in the world. One is, what does lo tirtach come from? You know, jealousy, strife. What does lo sinaf come from? Where does lo sinaf come from? Yeah, which is called, what's it called in Pirkei Avos? One is kina, the other is taiva, right? And kovet is the one which is the root of everything. It's kina and taiva both come from kovet. So kina and taiva are the things which represent to us the two different types of evil in the world. They avos kolos kolaros. They are the fathers which include all evil things. Shehem Edom, which connotes Edom, Rome, has to do with Ritzicha, murder, Kayadua. Of course, Esav represents us Rome and all Christianity and that power of murder. Vamonu Moab represents us Niuf, represents us licentious behavior. Shemisham Mekoram, that's where they came from, Miznus, right? From the licentious behavior of the daughters of Lot. Vuhu, and Lot himself, Niskamin Vavair, Rashi and Chumash tells us that he wanted to sin, right? This is a famous Rashi. Bramuzah with his daughters, yeah. Bramuzah Bamidva Rabba, Hamachtio Yosim Nirgon, somebody who makes you sin is worse than somebody who kills you. Shashneim Amunu Moav, that Amunu Moav, since they caused Am Yisrael to sin, Hayu Amachtim B'Niuf B'Mid, where they led Am Yisrael astray by Shittim, so therefore they were excluded from the Jewish nation altogether. Avolo Yochlu, but they weren't able to. Fascinating, it's like a lot of Chidushim here on my side. Avolo Yochlu, they were not able to do it. Why? Ki Amachtim Hayu B'Nukva, because they didn't. The men didn't go; they sent the women to go out and draw the men astray. Uvemes Nikovakevel Sein Mutaras Miat, and he says that in truth, the women from Moab are immediately allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. Kmosh Amru Zal, like Chazal say, Shehem, that the daughters of Lot, Niskavnu Zvar Mitzvah Binos Lot, the daughters of Lot did intend to do L'Shem Shemaim. It was Lot who did it, not L'Shem Shemaim. The Chaim Bezar Machreim, and so too their children after them, were also L'Shem Shemaim. And it's an amazing Arizal, I don't know what to do with this. Well, Kmosh Kosav Arizal, like the Arizal said, Ki Kosbi Hidina. Who was Kosbi? Ratzur was Mizana with, what was his name? Zimri ben Sol. Setzur, she was Dina. So I think in Kabbalah, it's not, these things are not to be taken literally. What it means is that the Midah of Cosby was the same Midah as Dina. But be that as it may, his point is, look at this, Uvemes lo Tor Yisrael klau. I'm still didn't make a mistake. Kisha kol tu mehem kedusha gdoilo. They got from the daughters of Moab great kedusha. Ki erichu behem kedusha samashiach. Because they smelled in the daughters, I don't know what kind of perfume they wore, but they smelled in the daughters of Moab the kedusha samashiach. Shu amonu Moab kanoida. Then that was amonu Moab, because Mashiach has to come from amonu Moab, vein kamakomo. Why is that so? Alright, be that as it may. Cosby, and it was Dina, not Dina, but Kibemes Yesh B'taiva Gamkin Mashu Dvar Mitzvah. In lust, there's also Dvar Mitzvah. Kamosh Kosu B'medrash HaNe'alam, like it says in the Kabbalah, Shelo Yizbato Gamkin Yetzar Lossi Lovo. There's even going to be an evil inclination, quote-unquote, in the world to come, A, K'dei Lifros Alirbos, in order to procreate, and besides that, more importantly, the Belav Hachi Lo Yech Hamidu Daraisa Klau. If you don't have a lust, that drive for lust, you don't have a lust for Torah either. That drive of lust has a positive aspect. When you have a love for Torah, and that's something which is necessary even in the world to come. Ritzicha, that midah of kina, is totally eradicated in the world to come. There's absolutely no need nor necessity for it. It's bad, completely bad. But the taiva is good. Taiva l'shem shemayim is a good thing. It's obviously going to be sublimated, but on a high level, it's a positive thing. Vainu, and this says an amazing thing, Reb Tzadok, ki acheshek, the desire, shezel mitzad hanukva, which comes from the feminine aspect, b'zeh yesh tov gamken, that's good. Aval hashpa, but the influence, shumitzad hatchura, which comes from the male aspect of lust, not because one feels a shortcoming, there's no good at all. There's a remarkable statement he makes. He says, why are the males of Amon and Moab excluded from Am Yisrael? Because male lust is a negative lust. Why are the women included in Am Yisrael? Why does Mashiach have to come? Because that lust is a positive lust. Why is that so? Obviously, used the right way. Why is that so? Because if one just has a drive to go out, not to receive, but to go out and force oneself on others, there's nothing positive about that. If one has a drive because one feels a lack, one feels one wants to receive and get and absorb more, that's a positive form. And that's what Reb Tzadok says, that that type of Yetzirah can be included in Am Yisrael. Why? Because in essence, what's that a model of? It's a model of the yearning of Am Yisrael for the presence of the Shekhinah. That's what it really is. We feel a lack of the Shekhinah, and we want the Kodesh Baruch Hu to come dwell among us. So that type of cheshek is a good cheshek. There's no room to speak longer about this. Explain somewhere else. I don't know where. And these are two separate things that are divided up into two. Dugmas Rachel v'Leah. In the paradigm of Rachel v'Leah, shenegdam Rus, and Rus included both of them. She'isa, it says, yitin Hashem o'isha, that they gave her a bracha that she should be, she'tiyeh kulel l'shneim. She should include both of them. V'hu binyan ha-Mashiach, and this is the way of structure, the building of Mashiach, she nefesh ha-kolel es kol beis Yisrael, which is a soul which includes all of Am Yisrael, v'hi yotze mishneim, and she comes from both of them, me'amun ha-Moav, v'chein Rus ha-kolel es, and Rus also included all these traits, like they birkas as kenim. So what he's saying is that Yosef represents kino. In this world, it's necessary. It's good to have, there's good kino as well. We say kino sofrim tarbe chokma. The jealousy of sages is a good thing. We say you have to have create strife and dichotomy between yourself and Rishoyim. It's important to distance yourself from evil in this world. But in the world to come, there's no more evil. The evil is all gone. There, the midah of Yosef is not as essential. It's necessary in this world, it's not necessary in the world to come. And that's why, Reb Tzadok goes into a lengthy discussion then, there's Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. Moshiach ben Yosef dies. He's killed. That's also his midah, right? His midah is kina, lo sirtzach, in a positive sense, and unfortunately he's also killed as well, but there's a symbolism there. The symbolism is that midah is not essential forever. The midah of Moshiach ben David, which is the one who then comes and completes the redemption, is the one which is essential forever. That's the chamidu d'oraisa, the yearning, the lust for Torah. And Erev Tzedek describes this at length. He describes how Rugzo Shel Yosef, Yosef is called, it's called that, Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva, Kofetzlev, Rugzo Shel Yosef. What does Rogez mean? Rogez is anger, it's strife, that's the midah of Yosef HaTzadik. He meant it L'Shem Shamayim. Sometimes it's necessary, but it did create strife between him and the brothers. And David HaMelech also had to have this midah. It says David HaMelech was red-haired, right? He was an Admoni. You need such a midah in order to be a king, right? So that's that's not the more essential midah. The more essential midah is the midah of Yehuda, of the midah which comes not from Yosef but from Yehuda, which is the one which stretches out and encompasses and includes. And that those are the two midahs which are described in this pasuk. The two midahs which are described are the Aseh Chayil beEfrasa, the Chayil, the Gvura in Ephras. Ephras, by the way, that word comes from Puravu, which has to do with lust. The cross shame based restraint, however, the cross shame based lechem, and the other midah of expansiveness of based lechem. Now we explained last week, although I don't want to get into it again, that Boaz and Ruth represent here. Ruth and Boaz are being blessed with these two midos, but throughout the sefer, Ruth demonstrates chesed, and Boaz demonstrates gevura. Ruth demonstrates the ultimate chesed towards Naomi. And Boaz represents the Gvura. He was the big Kovishis Yitzro. Here the woman comes to the Goren and he restrains himself. He holds himself back. It was these two midos which combined together at this point in order to make this merger, which have the traits of both Rachel and Leah and the traits of Ephros and Beis Lechem, and this would be the Chayil and the cross shame, and together this would bring about the unique marriage which would bring ultimately to Moshiach. Okay, so that's the bracha which they were given in Pasuk Yud Aleph. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, of course, we allude to this to a greater extent, which is we mentioned that a lot of times throughout history, this has come about through a Yibum kind of relationship, right? And not just here, but also with Tamar, that whole Maisa with Tamar and Yehuda was also the same way. And we're saying that just like there, certain strange things happen at the beginning, but ultimately was a great bracha for Klai Yisrael. So too here, it might have looked somewhat strange in the beginning, but this was a very significant and important event in Klai Yisrael's history. Now, why did it have to start out that way? I'll tell you why in a few minutes, not now. But let's go on to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Va'ikach Boaz es Rus, Boaz took Rus, Va'atilo li'isha, and she was for him a wife, Vayovoilan had relations with her. Vayitin Hashem lo hayrayon, and God gave her pregnancy. Vatelet ben, and she gave birth. A couple of things here. First of all, there was a kicha. A kicha means kiddushin. There was a marriage ceremony. Normally, for Yibum, you don't need a marriage ceremony. The halacha says you just go straight on without the marriage ceremony. But here we know that there wasn't a real Yibum, because Boaz wasn't directly related. There wasn't actually a brother to Machlon or Kilion, so therefore it was not a quasi-Yibum kind of relationship, and that's why a marriage ceremony was necessary, a real marriage. Besides that, an interesting thing which they point out is that Va'itin Hashem lo hayrayon means that Ruth in her nature was barren, and therefore a nace was necessary here in order to get her to actually be able to give birth. Now, before we go on, There's a medrash, it's a chazal actually, which says that Boaz died that night. After the first time they lived together, Boaz died that night. Now, I don't know if that's, it's a little bit strange, it's not mentioned in Megillah, this medrash. I'm sure many of you have heard it. But, I'm not sure if to take it kipshuto, at a simplistic level, that Boaz actually died that night. Or there also could be another message in it, which is that Boaz reached the purpose for which he was created that night. In other words, Boaz was, although the Gemara says that Boaz is Ibtson, and he had 60 children, 30 boys and 30 girls, it says in Sefer Shoftim, they all died. And none of them survived for whatever reason. And that was not the purpose for which he was created. The purpose for which he was created was specifically for the purpose of bringing about the ultimate Malchus Beis David and the ultimate redemption, and therefore it was this night when he achieved perfection, as if he had completed his whole task in the world, as if he had died. Okay. Me? No, it's an interesting question. If nobody picks up on that, and I don't really have a good answer for it. I don't have any answer for it. Why it was necessary to pick up on Machlon? I think really that the pasuk stresses much more the fact that it comes from Ruth than from Machlon. Machlon, like here, was like just a chitimtzi, a means to reach the end of getting Ruth. I don't know any other pshat. I don't know a good pshat. Okay, let's do Yud Dalet. Vatomarno Anoshim El Nomi. The women said to Nomi, Baruch Hashem, blessed be God, Asher Lo Ishbislo Koel Ayom, who did not desist from giving you a redeemer today, V'Koreish Mo Bisrael. Again, this name business. His name should be called out in Israel. Let's read it together with Tesvav. V'Yol Cholam Eshiv Nefesh. He should restore for you your soul. U'L'Kalkel Sevasech, he should sustain you in your old age. Why? Ki Kalasech, because your daughter-in-law, Asher Eva Sech, who loved you, Yuladatu gave birth to him. Asher he tova lach, she is better for you, Mishiva's body, than seven sons. So there are a few very interesting things in this pasuk. First of all, the Medrash says, I have these all in my notes, this is Midrashim, if you want to look at page 8. Boaz asar shalo, Boaz did his share. Verus astar shalo, and Ruth did her share. V'Naomi astar shalo, and Naomi did her share. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, no, they all did their share. Afani Eseshali, I'll also do my share. There's another interesting medrash which says, Om Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Huna said, Mi Birkosu Shel Nashim, because of this bracha which the women gave Naomi, Loni Skako Bitzoso Shel David, the mud of David didn't get, he didn't get mired in the mud. He didn't sink into the quicksand. Bimei Atalia on the days of Atalia. Now this is a tough one. What did Atalia do? Who was Atalia? These things. Who is Atalia? Atalia? Oh, no, that's Avigayim. Atalia was the one queen of Malchus Yehuda in time of Bais Rishon. And I had who her husband was, who died. And then, after her husband died, whichever king that was, she killed all her kids, except one who ran away and hid. Who was that? Atalia was. But that was Yosam. That was eventually, with the help of the Kohen Gadol, and again I forget which one it was, so Yosam regained the kingship. They got Atalia out, and Yosam regained the kingship. But what? Say from Melachim Beis, I think. Maybe Aleph. Melachim Aleph or Beis. We should get there sometime in 1998. But in any event, it says that obviously all of that Malchus Beis David was eradicated except for this one kid, Yosef. The whole kingship was in danger of being lost, the whole line of the kingship. So it says here that the only reason why Yosef survived, a very fascinating medrash, is because of this bracha, Psukim Yudalin and Pesvav. What's going on here? What exactly is this Psukim saying, which is so significant? So, in order to explain this, I think here, you have to say that the Gaal, when it says that Lo Yishbislo Goel Ayom, you have to say that this obviously is the personal Geula of Naomi achieving her Shlemus. And at this point, it's clear, Naomi, who came back from Stay Moav and said, Kirenoli Mara, call me Mara, don't call me Naomi, has been restored to a previous state of Ne'imus. And Ne'imus, pleasantness, represents a degree, is manifest when one has achieved shlemus, one has achieved wholeness, completion, perfection, which is what Naomi achieved here. Why? Because she too was put here for this purpose of creating this shidduch of Boaz and Ruth in order to bring about the geula. That is, in this way, she was very similar, we mentioned this once before, to Miriam. And there's not just a coincidence that Mara and Miriam are so related, because Miriam was also the catalyst for a Goel, for Moshe Rabbeinu. And here too, Mara was the catalyst for the Goel, for our ultimate Mashiach ben David. And we mentioned also that the reason why this is so is because we have to have first Mirirus, first bitterness, first difficulty, and then only afterwards the Geula. That's the way it works. There's no such thing. So Gemara in Yibam, I was listening to a tape on the way here tonight from one of my rabbeim, and he was saying, this is from many years ago, this rabbi of mine is no longer alive, and he was saying that, it's according to Gemara in Yibam, the Gemara says in Yibam, that when a ger comes and wants to marry his geyer, we tell the ger, do you know that the situation of Am Yisrael in our day is bluim, schuvim, the chufim ben umos, oppressed, downtrodden, rejected. That's the situation of Klal Yisrael. So he said, my Rebbe, Rav Zalesnik, he said, well, if this was just a situational thing which changes from time to time, why are we saying it to the ger? He knows that. He sees that. So he realizes that that's the case right now. If we're telling it to the ger, it seems that we're impressing that this is axiomatic. By definition, this is the state of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in its very definition, must be in a state of oppression in Olam Hazeh. Ulos only come after first there was merirus, bitterness, difficulty, and oppression. So we see here this happening in Rus, from the depths to the heights. We see it happening in Mitzrayim, from the depths to the heights. And here too, this is something which is very important, to go from the merirus only afterwards to Ne'imus. Now, what did she do? How did Naomi go about bringing about this geula, this goel? So the Targum says here that when it says v'yikro shmo v'yisrael, v'yiskare shmei means tzaddike Yisrael. His name should be called what a tzaddikim of Am Yisrael. Again, what does a tzaddik mean? A tzaddik means somebody who has the restraint of being able to battle Yetzirah, being able to battle darkness and cast it aside. So, when Naomi went, whether this was conscious or subconscious on her part, probably subconscious, when she went to Moab, it was with a purpose. It seemed that she was going with Elimelech in order to escape the famine. No, the reason why she went down to Moab was because there was a tremendous koyach there, a tremendous power and strength, which had to be brought back to Am Yisrael. That great chesed, which often manifests itself dangerously in Znus, was supposed to be brought back to Am Yisrael and utilized to create tzaddikim. That's what was necessary. And this was, as Rav Tzodik said before, the cheshek mitzad hanukva, right? The right type of desire, the right type of yearning, not the wrong type, should not a male Moabi, only a female. And it was developed by Naomi also, who was a woman. And this, I believe, is the pshat in v'schus noshim tzitkonios Am Yisrael is nigal. In other words, what is a noshim tzitkonios? Why is the emphasis on noshim with tzaddik? Because what Reb Tzadik said before is that a type of lust, a type of cheshek which comes on the male model is negative. A type of cheshek comes on the female model when it comes with a yearning to be fulfilled is a positive model. And this is the model which all of Am Yisrael has to emulate. Am Yisrael is the Kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am Yisrael is supposed to yearn to bring down the Shekhinah down below into this world. And this great drive, this great pursuit, was even more to be found in Moab than it was to be found in Am Yisrael. Sometimes you find a salient trait which Am Yisrael has to absorb from the Umos Olam, from the nations of the world, and bring and utilize, sublimate and channel to Kedusha. And that's what Naomi did, that's what she brought back with Ruth, and then she married that with Boaz, who represented the trait of Yosef, the trait of restraint, which is necessary in order to modulate and regulate his desire l'shem shamayim, and created this marriage of Amis of which is going to bring about ultimately David HaMelech and Mashiach. Now, just a second before you ask me the question, let me just finish the pasuk. Now, it's the Medrash when expressing that says that if not for this bracha, then the Amis would have sunk down into the mud. Which means that the mud, the quicksand would have opened up and show based of it and swallowed based of it. What does that mean here? Well, what does it mean? Why that metaphor? We know when Chazal uses a metaphor, it's not just stam. They have a meaning in using the specific metaphor which they have. So I don't remember where I saw this. I saw this recently. But mud is unique in that it's dirt and water mixed together. What does it mean, dirt and water? Dirt represents Omer, represents materialism, things which are mundane and physical. Water represents what? Spiritual, represents Torah. So something which is completely earth represents something which is completely physical. Something which is completely water represents something which is completely spiritual. Something which is mud has potential for both. And we know that Adam HaRishon was created Ofer Min Adama, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is what it says in Medrash, took the Ofer Min Adama and kneaded it with water. That's how mankind was created as well. So therefore, the Chazal say, the Maharal quotes this, I don't know if it's a Chazal, that what does Adam mean? Adam has the connotation of Adama, of being dirt, and the connotation of Adam El Elyon. I will be like the higher regions, like the Malachim. And that's what the mud represents. The mud represents a combination of the Torah with the Chomer, of Torah with the physical existence, and it can go either way. We don't. Each person has Bechira Chofshis, has free will to be driven in either direction. So therefore, man is in basically a paradoxical state, a state of being driven in both directions, and there's something which has to guide man to yearn for something higher, to not to be brought down to that Dhamma, but to be driven up to the Mayim, to the higher realms. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling us that it's the Zchus of this Bracha of the Nashim, which is the Torah, I believe, what so we say, Shema B'ni Musar Avicha V'atitosh Torah Simecha. So what is Torah Simecha? It's a very basic question. We know women are not Mukhid to learn Torah. So what does it mean that Torah Simecha, right? Say Musar Imecha and Torah Savicha. It seems to be oxymoronic to say Torah Simecha. Okay, let's say the women are sitting and learning. No, they went to Bravender, so they're sitting and learning. Let's say, but so what? Then according to the Pasuk, shouldn't say Torah Simecha. So I think that the pshat is that, it's not my pshat, I've seen it elsewhere, that Torah, that the drive for Torah comes from the women. And that's why the Gemara says, what is women's schar in learning Torah? That they push their husbands and their children to go learn. The chamidu d'oraisa, the yearning for Torah, is from the women. And the Gemara, the Gemara says somewhere that g'dayla shimusho shotera yosem limuda, the serving of people who learn is more significant than learning itself. And the Gemara brings a proof from Yehoshua, that Yehoshua used to set up the benches in the Beis Medrash, and that's why he merited to be the primary Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, who took over from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara is making a point here. The drive to learn Torah is more important and significant in determining the personality of an individual than the learning of Torah itself. And that's something which comes, that's the Torah Simecha, the drive, the yearning, the sending off of the children of the husband, and the desire to see Torah being learnt. And that was what the women granted here to Malchus Beis David, all the women involved in Megillas Rus. That drive for higher forms of Avodas Hashem, of elevating oneself, was what was they gave and what they brought in and what came from Rus, and that's what allowed Beis David to exist. Now what does it mean that's what allowed Beis David to exist? That is the whole purpose of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, I shouldn't say the whole purpose, but that's more the prime purpose of HaMelech in Tehillim. The Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael is the yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yearning, all the poetry and all those songs are all meant to express this great emotional love and yearning to be close to Hashem. And that really is something which comes from this Cheshek, which came from Ruth, which came from Moab. Now, the Ravim, going back, one other thing here in that regard is that Meshiv Nefesh, I think, can be taken in that sense. We know that in Kabbalah, the soul is divided up into Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. And Nefesh is the part of the Neshama which corresponds to what aspect of existence? Nefesh, the lowest form. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Yechida is what unites man with God. Chaya is a special spiritual force which drives man. Neshama is the power of the intellect. Ruach is the power of speech. And nefesh is the power which animates the body, right? Body. So meshiv nefesh, that which restores nefesh, in other words, is that which ensures that the dirt part of the mud is not going to be misused, it's going to be used for the proper purpose. Now, the Malbim here has a more Kabbalistic interpretation. That wasn't Kabbalistic enough. The Malbim says that nefesh means that the soul was restored in that, again, you can ask me a question, again, I won't have an answer, but that Machlon's soul was restored via the Yibum process. In other words, the child that was born was the nefesh which came from and replaced Machlon. Okay, let's go on to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vatikach Naomi, Esayelet. Yeah. Tzatikin of Noslot, yes. No, I'm over here.
Yes.
Machlon was a vehicle for this tikkun to occur. Obviously, it's a merit for him. It's a schus. Killian did nothing positive, no. Unfortunately for Killian. He brought Tzoris to Klal Yisrael because he brought Orpa about, and we know who came from Orpa. Who came from Orpa? Goyas, right. Okay. So now Pasuk Tezayin, Batikach Naomi Yisrael, Naomi took the child, Batishiseu Becheik, she put him in her bosom, Vatilo Lomenes, and she became for him a nurse, Vatikrena Lo Ashchenu Shem, and they called her, the neighbors called her a name, Lamor, to say, it's interesting, the Shchenos, the neighbors, not the mother, not the father, not the grandparents, the neighbors, but the female neighbors, Lamor, you had Ben Naomi, a child was born to Naomi, Vatikrena Shmo Oved, and they called his name Oved, who Avi Yishai Avi David, he's the father of Yishai, the father of David. So a couple of very important points here. First of all, the Malbim. Now, the Malbim here is even more Kabbalistic. And I'm just reading it to you in order that you should learn some basic Kabbalah, which I only learned when I read it. The bottom line of the Malbim on the bottom right. Pashchenos Amru, the neighbor said, Shulad ben lo Naomi, that a child was born in Naomi, Kikeno Emes, because that's the truth. Shul ben Naomi, that it was the son of Naomi. Why so? I can't make out the words here, but something the gist of what he says the next three words is that's what Yibum does, and therefore going to next column, Karshmo Ben Naomi, they called him the son of Naomi, Ushmo Atzmi, his essence, that was what name they called him. The Shchenos called him Ben Naomi. However, his actual name was Karu Ove. Why Ovid? Ashasi Lavodas Hashem, because he's going to serve God. Vuavi Yishai was the father of Yishai, Shemeno Nitzbach Machus Beis David, from which the kingship of David eventually came about. Fabi Arizal B'Sefer Gigulim, Arizal in his book on Gigulim wrote, Shanashamos Hashukos, Neshamos which are being deprived, beyond Oshkeim Koch, by the forces of evil, who are forcibly depriving them, B'Takla Dashikas Neshmosin, and they're being held back in the darkness of the place where cheated neshamas are stored. If shalotzias on neshama mehem, you can't get on the neshama who's captured there out of their clutches. Why kihen? Because the forces of darkness, yom koshefa, derive their. You don't see where I am? Yom koshefa, they derive their influence ayodam through them. Umirami mosam. And therefore, they trick these neshamos, shemayim lem mokom pagum, that they show them the damaged place, the choshesh shishamti shraya neshama v'yodam. And they think that there, in that damaged place, they're going to be able to keep that neshama. The force of evil will keep that neshama restrained forever. Ulubasov eventually, tisgaber ha neshama aloshkeh, the neshama will overcome it's the people who are tricking it. V'chein nishmas ha-shvatim. And so too the neshamas of the Shvatim, nitnu b'rochel v'leah, were placed in Rochel and Leah, shayushtei achios, because they were two sisters, v'chashu, because the forces of evil thought, ki sharu aneshamas b'tuma, that neshamas will stay in the tuma of Aram, achash nisu b'isur, because the only way to marry Rochel and Leah was to marry by the prohibition of marrying two sisters. V'chein, the forces of evil put the neshama peretz, in Tamar, so because they thought Yehuda would never marry a Kanani. V'nishmas Rus v'Naomi, they put in Amon Moab because they thought they would never get that way to Klal Yisrael. Alkeinu Amar David, and therefore David said in Tehillim, B'nei Ish, children of men, Amek Vodi L'Klima, How long are you putting my glory to shame? And it says in the Medrash, Shoyom, people used to say, Shabam Rusam Oavila, that he came from Rus. And he says to them, Imru Bilvavchem Amishkavchem, think in your hearts about the place where you came from. Vatem lo basam isur shteachios. Didn't you come from the prohibition of two sisters? Vidomu, so be silent. Vizosir Gishu Anvaz Kanim. And this was felt by the nation and the elders. Vromer, and they said, Yitein Hashem Etzah Isha, God should make this woman, Kerachel Kalea, who, although they were in the Shamas of Kedusha, restrained, held back in what appeared to be Tuma, they were brought out. The Yibesah could base parrots, and your house should be like thousands of parrots, Hashiel Dutama, there too. That all this was necessary in order to take out these nefashos by tricking them from those who were forcibly restraining them. Now this is obviously very Kabbalistic and we can't understand it, but what we can derive from this is something which we said before, is that everything starts from Tuma and goes from Tara. You have to start from the negative and work your way to the positive. Why is that? Again, let's wait a minute. First, I want to read with you something from the Nachlas Yosef, from Yosef Lipovitz. If you turn to page 4 at the bottom, it says a beautiful thing here. V'davar sheni niflamod. We have the A. Another thing, an amazing thing. Hashem shkora shchenos lebena yulad is the name they called the son was born Oved. Mashmo shel shem, that the meaning of this name as Bim Lona Chazal explained to us, Al Shem Aviv. In the name of his father, Shayazakin Boaz, who was old, Vanasa Ishul Shem Shamayim, and he married a woman for the sake of heaven, Nikro Ovi Okim, therefore it's called some of you worship and serve God. Al Shem Imo, and also name his mother. The Chsiv, it says, Vishavtim Risam, you will return and see Ben Tzadikul Rush, there's a Chinatzadik in Russia, Ben Ovi Okim, somebody worship God, Uashar Ovado, and somebody didn't serve God. What's the difference? Ben Rusla Arpa. Arpa, I saw cherpa. Arpa was an embarrassment. For Ruth, Dovka Bichud, and Ruth connected herself to the unity of God. That's why Oved, who came from Boaz and Ruth, was called Oved. Tzadik Nosa Tzadekes, the Tzadik married Tzadekes, Vaben Tzadik Gomor, and the son was a super Tzadik. Shlishi Labachar Gloa Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the third generation after him, God chose the Chsiv Vaivchar David Avdo. The Shem of Anas Medrash, in order to understand this Medrash, Olei Levi Gamasivir Gemara, we also bring the Gemara, which says, Amalo Bar Hei Hei Lehilo. I don't see what is that which it says, Shavtim Reisim, you will go back to discern, Ben Tzadik Lu Rasha, Ben Ovid Elokim Asher Levado. Hainu Tzadik, Hainu Ovid Elokim. A Tzadik is an Ovid Elokim. Hainu Rasha, Hainu Lo Avado. A Rasha is somebody who didn't serve God. Isn't this redundant? Amar Leis, and Hillel said a very famous Gemara. Avodah v'lo avodah, served God and didn't serve God, tarvayu tzadikim gemur ninu. They're both complete tzadikim. Avul einu doimesh shoyne pirko me'apamim, but there's a difference between somebody who learned his lesson 100 times, with shoyne me'avachas is somebody who learned 101 times. Somebody who learned shas 100 times is an eino oved elokim. Somebody who learned shas 101 times, he is an oved elokim. What's the difference? Yotzinu, we find Shal Ovid Elokim, he madregas hashlemus shabashlemus. A servant of God is the highest level of perfection. V'yochel adam leos tzadik gomor, principally a complete tzadik. Achim hichsir mashu b'ma'amotzav. But if he fell short in any one of his efforts, v'agiel anakud achrona b'torosso, to reach the furthest point, the ultimate in his perfection in Torah and in Maisav and his deeds, and enu kvar b'dagas Ovid Elokim. He's already not an Ovid Elokim. Shua tachli sel yoynesh adam, which is the highest pinnacle of mankind. The chen kosu ba Ma'amar Har Sinai. What does it say about Ma'amar Har Sinai? Kavduna sel Elokim u'har hazeh. Vator Eved Hashem, and the description, the servant of God, zochu lo rak yechidei skula. Only very few people merited it. Some people call themselves Avdi Hashem. Didn't confirm this. And that's what the Novi Malachi is saying. In his days, people complain against God's divine control of the world. Amartem, they said, Shava Avod Elokim. It's not worthwhile to worship God. What good does it do us to worship, to serve his to safeguard his safekeeping, the goymer. Vanavi meshiv lohem. The Navi responds, Yovo Yoma, they will come, v'shaft and reason when you return, you will see. Apia totos achronos, based on the final results, is galain kol olam, the whole world will see, ha'hefesh divitzi chin tzadik v'rasha, between a tzadik and a rasha, uvein ove okim l'asher l'avadon, some who serve God, some who did not. Shulufamim hefresh dak min hadak, which sometimes is the most minute and finest distinction. 100 times and 101 times can be the distinction. How so? Because the guy who did 101 times, he gave it his all. It wasn't enough that he mastered the topic. He strove as much as he had capacity to strive to use all of his forces and all of his efforts for the sake of heaven. And the guy who only lived 100 times, he stopped when he knew it. That's not an oved. An oved is somebody who's constantly serving and striving, not just to master, but to constantly be serving. And that's the highest madrega. And then he goes on to describe that. He says that that's between Rus and Orpah, there seemed to be the smallest distinction. They both came, they both cried, they both wanted to go. But in the end, you see, the smallest deviation at the beginning leads to a great deviation at the end. And from Rus comes out David, and from Orpah comes out Goliath. Why? Because somebody who's complete and all-consuming ambition is always to be oved is different from somebody who feels, okay, I've done enough. I know it already. And then he goes on to say that this is what the Shechenos understood, that these two people, Boaz and Ruth, are not just tzaddikim. That wasn't all that there was here. It was much more than that. They were ovdim. That's the highest madrega. Not just to be a tzaddik, not just to be a chassid, but to be an oved, to constantly strive, constantly and in all areas of life, to constantly perfect and go higher and higher and higher and never rest on one's laurels. And then, this was what led to oved, which eventually led to David Abdi. To David, who was the Eved Hashem, was the intent of this whole episode. Let's read the last psukim and then we'll comment on them. Vela told us parrots. Peretz will lead us Chetron, Peretz gave birth to Chetron, Chetron will lead us Ram, Ram will lead us Aminadav, Aminadav will lead us Nachshon, V'Nachshon will lead us Salma, Salmon will lead us Boaz, Boaz will lead us Oved, V'Oved will lead us Yishai, V'Yishai will lead us David. So the Targum, which we don't have time to go through, but which you have on page 7, describes what Midrashim and all these Pesukim, what the allusion, what the connotation of every Pasuk here is. But for our purposes, since it's late, just want to go to my notes on page 8. And there's a Medrash which says, Veshnei b'nosech ha'nimtzos. Lot was told to take his two daughters who were to be found with him and leave the city of Sdom. Amar Rabbi Tuvia bar Yitzchak, Shtei metzios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying to Lot, I have two metzios. Two things which I found, which I want. Rusa Moavia, who's going to marry Boaz, and Amar Amonis, who's going to be Shlomo HaMelech's wife. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Matzasi David Avdi, I found David my servant. Hechon Matzasi Yoso, where did I find him? Bistom. David was found in Sdom. Again, the same idea. Where do you find the Kedusha? You find it in the ultimate degradation of Tumah. So, this is the way the world works. The beginning of Parshas Chukas, the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, Miyitein Tohar Mitameh Lo Echad. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes every tar come from Tame. And it's all one. Lo Echad means the one of the world, Hashem, but also means it's all one thing. Because Baruch Hu created the world so that ultimately it will become clear that although things seem like they're so dark and difficult and so Tame, that ultimately this too was part of the process to bring about the Torah. There's nothing which doesn't serve in the master plan, although we can't see it until afterwards, to bring about Geula, to bring about Kedusha. And the Zohar, of course, says, a very famous Zohar, Leka Nehoira Kehid Nafik Migocha Shocha. The best light, the sweetest light, is the light which comes out of the darkness, in contrast to darkness and out of the darkness, so to speak, the light at the end of the tunnel. And this is the purpose of, I think that there's a purpose here, to show that, you know, it looks like such a remarkably crooked path, the path from Sdom, through Bnos Lot, to Moab, to David, and there are a whole bunch of difficulties also along the way. We know Yishai also had difficulties when he had to get divorced, he thought, because He didn't know that the halacha was Moavid, were Moavis, a whole bunch of difficulties. But the pasuk here doesn't express those. The pasuk shows a straight line all the way from Peretz to David, to tell you that no matter how distorted the line looks, it's really a straight line. Everything is a part of the tachlis which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And this is the purpose, to bring about the tar from the tummy. And the amount of psukim in Sefer Rus is 85. 85 is, of course, the numerical value of Peh. And all of this was to bring about David HaMelech, who would be the mouthpiece for Klal Yisrael. And there's a great, there's a beautiful things here in the Nachlas Yosef on page, I'm not going to read inside, just paraphrase a few, on page 6 of the handout. Proves at great length, where I have B and C, and you can read it inside over Shavuos yourself if you'd like. He proves how David HaMelech represented, David HaMelech's perfection could only come about through the merger of Ruth and Boaz via Naomi. Naomi was the mother of this Gula, and Ruth and Boaz were the Chesed and Gvura, and David HaMelech's kingship manifested both of these midos, Staka and Mishpat. And David was the great warrior. We have a good tape on this. Two tapes, 105 and 106, EH 105, 106. David was the great warrior and also the great songwriter. And these were two midos which coexisted in David and complemented each other. And they came from this marriage of Boaz and Ruth. And he says, if you take a look, the last tehillah of the tehillahs which David wrote is which one? Last tehillah is which one? This is a trick question. How many tehillim are there in tehillim? 150. Last one is not the 150th. Last one is 72. At the end of tehillah 72, it says, Kolu tefilos Yishai ben David ben Yishai. This is the last one. And they're not written in order, obviously. So that tehillah, he brings down here, paraphrases it in C. That tehillah, is that Zardot's Kohav tehillim? Right, so in any event, that tehillah, he speaks about how the mishpat, his malchus, he's speaking to Shlomo HaMelech. And he's giving his legacy over to Shlomo HaMelech. It's a tehillah which is written to Shlomo HaMelech. And he says there that you should know that my whole malchus was based on mishpat and staka. And that all of my purpose was to both to wage war, but at the same time to save Dev Yonim and the Aniyim and to help them out. And that my intention, my entire life, was to bring about not just war and battle, but to bring about mercy and kindness. And all of these traits, or both these traits, are necessary in order for the kingship in Am Yisrael to have its ultimate purpose. What's the ultimate purpose of the kingship in Klal Yisrael? So right before he finishes the tehillah, he says, Ubaruch Shem Kivodo Li'olam, by combining these midos together of Tztaka and Mishpat, of Chesed and Gvura, that will bring God's kavod La'olam, right? Not kavod in the negative sense of Kina and Taiva, but the kavod of Hashem, the kavod of the divine presence. The Molech for those Kolarts Amen V'Amen, Kolu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. And of course, this Yontif of Shavuos, in which we read Rus, was made for this purpose also, which was Kolu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. Kolu also means Kulo. Kolu means to complete his entirety. And we know his Yartzeit is Shavuos. He was Niftar on Shavuos. Who else is Niftar on Shavuos, by the way? Famous personality in history? Hashem Tov. Hashem is also Niftar on Shavuos. So it's a Chassidish Yontif. So this is the day which was, the purpose for which Shavuos was created was also to bring the Malchus Hashem down into this world. The Torah was given to us on Shavuos in order that we should bring the Shechina down to the Tachtonim, the Shechina down to this level. And the marriage of Boaz and Ruth in this whole episode in the Megillah with the Chesed and the Gvura together brings about that kavod, the kavod of having the Shechina down here below, which is the Yontif of Shavuos and the connection of David, Ruth, and Shavuos together.